Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello there.
Let's go.
It's time to begin.
So this is going to be the first one, the first podcast ever. I don't really know how to start it. I hope Macklemore and Neo, and I think Neo was actually on a Calvin Harris song, and Imagine Dragons and Jay-Z and all these people that I used in the intro, don't get upset with me for using it. I imagine they won't because I'm little old me and I'm not really that famous or important. Hey, there's a phone going off. Why don't we turn that on and just let the thing ring while I'm doing a podcast? Awesome. I'm doing the podcast in a model apartment in Wichita Falls, Texas. They didn't have my apartment ready, but I told her, hey, you know, I can go get a hotel. That's fine. If it's not ready, it's not ready. Whatever. And she was kind of telling me, you know, it's her fault that it's not ready because she wants a lot of different things done with it. Which is awesome that they care that much to make sure, like, the countertops are awesome and the carpet shampooed and all this random stuff. The guy was, they let me move in some of my stuff and just keeping it kind of out of the way, but he was working on the bathroom and stapling something, and I was just like, wow, they really just want to make sure that it's all right and, you know, probably to cover their butts, but to also cover mine, and that's awesome. So she put me up in a model apartment, didn't make me go to a hotel. This is the one that they show off to potential leaseers. I don't know if that's the right word. Potential applicants. There you go. So yeah, it's awesome. It's really homely as I stare at the sign that says home right in front of me. But I mean, the table's classy. I feel like I would have three friends over and we'd have a little soiree of sorts. I don't think that's the word I want. Dinner. We're just going to go straight to dinner. Yeah. Oh. So I don't know if you can hear the fan in the background, but, or if it, I think it just kicked off, but that is a requirement, like a daily requirement that thing is on because it is hot. I got in my car and it was 102, and then I turned the air conditioning on and it went down to 97. I think the sensor's inside the car. I don't know, but it went from 102 to 97. So, yeah, it's just really hot. But for those of you who don't know, I moved to Texas as of today. Today's Friday, the 21st. This won't be uploaded tonight or today or anything because I don't have internet right now. But I will, once I upload it, it'll make sense. Yeah, it's just really hot down here. That's not a necessarily a bad thing, because people just kind of stay in their homes and do what they got to do, but it's just really hot out here. Like, really hot. My left arm is, like, scorched. Not scorched, but it's a little burnt, just because I was driving, and, you know, your left arm obviously sits somewhere near the window. My left kneecap is also burnt, so ginger problems. We'll have to figure that out and get some sunscreen and aloe and do it right, you know. But yeah, like, tiny little town, not tiny, but, you know, Kalamazoo sized, definitely not Grand Rapids, but it's a lot bigger than I expected. I'll give it that. Yeah, it's just nice. It's a nice little town. Everyone just kind of keeps to themselves. Everyone I've talked to so far has been really cool. Walmart is still weird. No matter where you go, Walmart is just going to be weird. The first lady I saw was like a pajama pants and a nightgown or something. I don't even know how to describe it, but classic Walmart. That's all I can say. Yeah. So, don't have internet. Don't have an apartment technically until tomorrow. The car somehow made it here. I was driving Wednesday, got to Vandalia, went through Indianapolis, got to Vandalia, Illinois. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And the car just stopped accelerating. It just said, no mas. I'm done. We're not going any further. And then the little wrench light came on in the bottom left corner of my little Ford Focus. Pulled over to the side of the road. I was in the left lane, so I got over and got over again and went over to the side of the road right in front of a guardrail, which is not the best place you want to stop. But when the car stops, it stops. So we're just kind of chilling there for a minute. I started to call some people, and then I was like, you know what? Let's just see if I can at least get off at a hotel somewhere and then go from there. Got to a hotel, called my mom, and said, hey, guess what? I might be stuck. So she looked up some places, went to Napa Auto Parts in the morning after checking in at a hotel. They didn't really know, but they sent me to a mechanic that they said was really good. And the mechanic put in his board, because it's all electrical now. It's all like sensors and technological and stuff. It's not, hey, look under the hood type of deal anymore. Put his little board into the system and didn't really get any signs that anything was wrong. So he said, you know, just cruise along at a decent speed and get to the nearest Ford dealer that you can. I got 40 miles south of there, and luckily it made it to the Ford dealer. Ford dealer said there's nothing we can do, but we think the problem is with the sensor between the pedal and the pump. I don't know. The throttle, I guess. I don't know. My mom looked it up. She thinks it's the throttle actuator, for the technical term. So, yeah, throttle actuator, fun times. But, they basically said just keep going. It shouldn't strain you anywhere, as long as you, if it does it again, pull off just like you did, stop for a few minutes and restart it. There's a history of this problem with the Ford Focus, so it shouldn't be too big of a deal. It shouldn't strain you is what he said, so that's reassuring. It shouldn't strain me on the side of the road, but it could happen anytime, any place. Luckily, it didn't happen in St. Louis, where it's like you're not pulling over anywhere. It's a city town. Luckily, it didn't happen in Oklahoma City or anything like that I was driving through, because those are like you're suspended in the air on bridges and things, and you don't want to be stuck on a bridge and trying to figure out why your car won't start. So the Ford Focus made it. I turned the air off the entire time, the entire drive, and that was not the best, but it was what you have to do to get here. So here I am, Wichita Falls, Texas, start work on Monday, and we go from there. Kind of a culture shock right now. Like I said, everyone's been awesome. I'm not used to this. People are nice in Grand Rapids. I'm kidding, kind of. like I said, the apartments are, you know, standard issue, pretty much cheap. It'll get me through for the time being, and we'll go from there. I found a Gold's Gym down the road, so you know, same. Pretty sure every Gold's Gym is the same. You pay whatever you pay monthly, and you go and you got your bros and you got your weird people just working out. So we'll probably go to the Golds and set up a membership there. I got to get my internet set up. There goes the air again. It's only off for like 10 minutes if it's ever off. I learned that electric, while in Michigan, you know, you want to heat the place when it's cold, and then you put your air on when it's warm outside. Electric doesn't stray too far, you know. It's never going to be something ridiculous. Here it's like $100. Like, just plan on paying that much a month, because you've got to have your electric on to cool the place down, because it's always like 90. I was walking with the leasing office representative, whatever, and I said, yeah, it's hot here, and she goes, honey, this isn't anything. So, yeah, we're learning on that. We're learning on the fly for that one. But, podcast. I guess I should quit talking about myself and quit being cocky and hot-headed. Inside joke. Podcast. This, for those of you who don't know, this was a internet radio show at Grand Valley, WCKS, The Whale. Basically, it was just me having fun with college radio. which is, I think, the point of any college radio. But I tried to make it as legitimate as possible. I had a lot of guests on. I had a co-host. John Adamy was the co-host. I had guests. I had Amy, Cousins, Jamie, Wheelock. Harmon was on there. Maybe Andy. I think Andy Grambo was on there. He had his own show, too, I think, at one point in time. But anyway, I had a lot of people on there. Sorry if I forgot any names. But basically, it was John and I just kind of having fun with college radio. And one of the guys that was on there was Nicholas Popma. And I met Nicholas through broadcasting classes. I don't remember if I covered this in the beginning of the podcast, so I'll just do it again. Sorry if it's overlapping. I met him in broadcasting classes. He eventually drops out of the broadcasting program and goes into nonprofits. None of us really understood why until we had a presentation. We had to do picture slideshows in one class for Professor Oppenheim. And one of the picture slideshows was from Nicholas Popma, or the story was about him at least. And it was how he was a product of sex slavery. I learned in the podcast not to really call him a victim because he wasn't the victim. It was his mother. But I guess through that, he was born in through sex slavery, I guess, is the best way I can put it. And, you know, that's powerful stuff whenever you learn that about someone. So I talked to him a few times on my internet radio show, and when we first spoke, he was just getting the nonprofit started. He was starting on a book. He was doing a lot of different things. And I said to myself, at least, probably to him too, that, you know, college career coming to an end. The internet radio show is going to come to an end. But this is something I would still like to do, and I would like to create conversations through a podcast because, podcasts are something I listen to a lot of. And they're all based just on conversations with people because everyone has a story. And it's fun to just kind of listen to the story as it develops and evolves and things of that nature. I guess Nicholas is unique in the way that, you know, he's a young kid. I want to say he's my age. He's pretty close to my age at least. And he's starting a nonprofit. He's moving to India. He's trying to save India's youth. And that's the name of the nonprofit, Save India's Youth. So he's just really unique because not many kids our age are doing this. I'm moving to Texas for a job and, you know, whatever. That's normal kid stuff to me, or normal college graduate stuff. You move away, you find a job, whatever. He's moving to India for a nonprofit where he could be in, you know, life danger, if I don't know if that made sense, but his life could be at stake when he goes to do this. So, I guess let's just get into it. Let's play the podcast. Nicholas Popma, Saving His Youth, talking about, where he's at and where he's going on Red Lightning, the podcast, edition one, part one. I don't know. Here you go. Nicholas Popma.
Heard it, and we can just start talking, and then whatever happens, happens. See, that's not bad levels.
No, it's not.
All right. So, I'm here with Nicholas Popma, who, the last time we spoke, we were talking about...
I think it was 2 years ago.
It was, let's see. Wow, I'm old. That was 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Roughly, yeah. Okay, well, that's very... old.
Yep.
Anyway, last time we spoke, you were in the process mm-hmm. of getting your nonprofit started. You were in the process of writing a book. You were in the process of a lot of things. So I guess to start off, just kind of give us an update of where you're at, what you're doing, and what's in the future. That's a very loaded question. I'm sorry. Where you're at now.
Yeah. Right now, the Save India's Youth Office is a 501c3 nonprofit. So that is all taken care of. There's nothing more I can do for that.
And when last time, that was still in paperwork mode.
Yeah.
Correct? Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm still writing the book, so that's nothing new there. And right now, I'm getting ready to move to India August 28th to create SIY's NGO office where all the hands-on work is going to be done. And then, so I'm getting ready for that. And then the other project I'm starting right now is creating a for-profit business in India that will be a temp agency. And the objective for the agency is to help human trafficking survivors find better jobs, which will help bridge the gap between them being forced back into trafficking or prostitution.
Right. Yeah, so not only did you complete the nonprofit, you're continuing the book,
yeah.
Which I know you've had a few chapters written since then.
Actually, I had to redo the book because I changed the focus, and so now I just have one chapter done. So I have like 70 days to write 5 chapters.
Okay, well, you set your challenges high.
Yep.
I set mine to, hey, let's move to Texas. But, so... last time we spoke, you had this nonprofit, still in the process of doing it. Now you've kind of set that in motion. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
So like you've got your
there's
office.
No turning back, Austin.
Right. you're moving to India. It's going to happen.
If I turn back, I have a lot of explaining to you.
Yeah. Unhappy parents.
Exactly.
Yeah, and now you've also started a for-profit,
mm-hmm.
but it's still kind of the same focus as making sure that people in India are helped. So I guess let's start with the nonprofit. Once again, give us kind of, because some people haven't listened to my stupid college radio show.
Sure.
kind of give us an overall meaning behind the nonprofit.
So the Save India's Youth, I started in memory of my biological mother who was a sex slave. And so when I go to India to create the NGO, the NGO is going to be focused on rescuing the mothers and children out of the brothels, and then once rescued, they'll get rehabilitation, medical care, education, etc. And after 4 years or so, the affiliation between both offices will begin. So the office here. And the purpose of the office here in Michigan is to fundraise for the NGO. So what I'm going to do is, through the survivor testimonies, video and or audio testimonies, we're going to use those testimonies as the main catalyst to fundraise for the NGO.
Gotcha. So you said an office here, which I understand the concept, but I guess kind of explain that. You're going to have an office in India, which you're going to go to
mm-hmm.
in August, and then you're going to have an office here in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then, as you said, you're going to create videos of testimony of people who unfortunately had to go through this.
Yep.
And that's going to be kind of how you create the awareness and the ability to raise money. How is that all going to work? Because, I mean, you're one man, and you've done a lot so far. But I know you were recruiting or in the process of recruiting.
Right.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. How is that going? What's going on with that?
Right now, I'm working on identifying who I'm going to ask to serve on my board over in India.
Yeah.
So my staff in India, I'm looking at maybe, minus the board of directors, I'm looking at maybe 15 to 20 people on staff. And for the office here, because the main purpose for the office here is to fundraise for the NGO no matter what. So I'm, in terms of the office here, I'm only looking to, I'll probably only hire one person.
Okay.
And that's it.
Yeah, just kind of have them head the whole thing.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess, so the main purpose of the one here in Michigan is to fundraise strictly.
Yep.
I mean, it's a nonprofit, but at the same time, you got to have money to do things.
Yep.
And then, what would you be doing in India? Because I mean, to me, that's like go to a new country and kind of try this new process for people who haven't had anything, or
right.
you know, who are victims of sex slavery like yourself. You were able to get out. These people aren't.
Well, I wasn't really. I mean, I wouldn't. I guess I wouldn't say I was a victim. I mean, my mother was, but
okay,
I mean, fair. I was abandoned on the street, so I was like, I was never in that situation. So, so I guess in some sense, I wouldn't consider myself a victim. I probably feel guilty that I got lucky, that I got out of it and been adopted. So, in that sense, I'm guilty. So I want to get back.
Right. So I guess for you, when you're this is a big move to India. You've been to India a few times, right? Or just the once?
Just once.
Just the once, okay. So you've been to India, you've kind of seen what's going on there, you've scoped it out a little bit, and now you're just packing up and going.
Yep.
And saying, that's fine. You're saying, I'm starting this nonprofit, I'm going to help these people. How do you think they'll react? You've seen the people, I haven't. I'm new to this entire thing.
I don't know how they're going to react. I mean, once I get to India, starting in September, I'll be volunteering with an NGO called APNIAP Women Worldwide. Okay. They do similar work that I want to do. And essentially, they're going to train me on everything I need to know and learn and how not to get killed. So, when I identify which brothel to take down first, and then when I go inside and I meet with the women and children, then I'm going to have to go back at constantly because I've got to have to gain their trust, and that gaining their trust, that is a process, and it's a process that I don't know how long it's going to take. I'm going to have an extensive amount of brothel visits, and I'm going to have to, like, within my living budget, I'm going to have to allocate money for my brothel visits, which is kind of sad. But I don't know how the women and children are going to react. I mean, some women do it because they need to support their family. Others are forced into it. And so it would be my job to identify which ones who need to get out immediately.
Yeah, you said take a – this part struck in my head. You said take a brothel down.
Yes.
How is that going to work? I mean, obviously, you're not just, going in.
I'm not Liam Neeson, so right. I can't,
This isn't a Taken movie. This
no,
is real life.
Not. Yeah, so.
You're going to go to India. You're going to try and take these brothels down, I guess.
One by one.
Right. How do you, is the government involved? Is it just?
Well, I mean, the whole brothels are, there's so much political corruption and, like, the police are corrupted. So, in terms of taking the brothel down, there are police special units which focus on brothel raids. So the NGOs are gonna that I'm networking with, they're gonna provide me with the resources. So I mean, no matter what, I'm gonna have to work with the police. I don't want to, but I know I will.
Yeah.
Because I will get killed if I do this myself. Right. So, but International Justice Mission, they have an office in Calcutta. So I'll be connecting with them, and they do raids on brothels.
And International Justice Mission, what is that?
It's another NGO. It's an international charity. They have offices all over the world, and they provide, like, assistance to poverty, child trafficking, etc.
Okay. So I guess long-term, because, I just told you I'm moving to Texas tomorrow. And for me, that's, kind of freaky, but I'm staying within the country.
I moved
to Texas. I'm going to see the same things, undoubtedly, a little bit different.
They still have Burger King there, so
right,
you should be
fine. I'll be fine. I'll always have food. You're moving to a whole new country that you've been once.
Yeah.
And you're trying to create this nonprofit. You're trying to help people who are victims of sex slavery and things of that nature, and yet you're just kind of doing this. I don't want to word out how to get started because we kind of covered that, but how do you put this all in motion without something stopping you? I know we've had lots of roadblocks. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. Roadblock wise. Tell me what you can. I know some things.
I know India's government's going to try and stop me no matter what. But I think if I really wanted to break my own ethics, I would just bribe people. But I won't.
Yeah.
I think it's just perseverance.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, they know I'm coming, and they know I'm not going to take no for an answer, and I'm going to make their life hell if they try and get in my way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I started a site 2 years ago. Yeah. 2011. Within those 2 years, I personally invested over $5,500 of my own money into this.
Wow.
So if you think I'm going to back down now,
right,
after I just invested over $5,500 while I was still in college.
Yeah. College people are not rich.
No, we're not. So
college graduates are also not rich.
No, they're not. So
yeah. Yeah. I guess you said the Indian government, I think I'm saying that right, is trying to stop you, and they know you're coming. what do you do in that case? If, let's say, you know, to make it completely dumb, I was moving to Texas and the government's trying to stop me. What am I going to do? I'm little old me. I guess.
I'm just going to move. I don't.
You're just going to go.
I'm just going to go. I don't really care what they think.
Yeah.
I don't.
And you've already got your office set up there, right?
No, actually, no.
Okay.
I'm in the process of figuring all that out, but I found my apartment, so for the time being, that will be my office. But yeah.
Yeah. And your board of directors, you kind of have an idea of that?
I'm going through all my LinkedIn contacts, and I'm identifying which ones I feel would be good matches, and then when I get there, I'm gonna contact them and take them out to Starbucks, which they do have in India.
See, you'll be fine.
I know, right? So I'll take them out for coffee, and we'll chat and see if there's an interest.
Figure it out from there.
Yep.
There's just so many random things I want to ask. When you get there, you said you have an apartment, and my first step would be, you know, scope out the area, see what's going on, because that's what I'm going to do in Texas. I'm going to drive around and kind of get my bearings. How are you going to do that? I'm assuming you don't have a car. You're just going to...
Thank God for Google Maps. No, seriously, I've been, like, looking at Google Maps. Because the area of Calcutta that I'm going to be living in, I've never been there, so... But I'll be living in the southern part of the city, which is the more developed area. So there's, you know, you have your KFC, Starbucks. So I'll be happy with that.
Right.
So I think what I'm just going to do is I think within the first month, probably just for the first month, I'm just going to travel around
and
just get acclimated with everything. So
yeah, for you... And I keep bringing this back to Texas, which isn't the point, but it helps with perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to Texas for maybe 1-2 years just to kind of, you know, go for a job and kind of experience it. I'm assuming this is a long-term deal here.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be there for 4 years, but like when I do come back, I'll be flying back and forth, so I'll always have my apartment there.
Okay.
And so what I'm thinking of, because I hate the winter here.
Yeah.
So I think during the winter season, I'll just be in India, and then spring, summer, fall, I'll fly back periodically. So
this is a 4-year plan.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not 4 years concrete, but roughly.
Yeah.
And you're going, like I said, you're going there to try and help women of sex slavery. What's the timeline, I guess? Because like you said, you're going to have a month to... kind of acclimate yourself, and then you got to get your board of directors, and then you got to kind of do all this. I guess for you, what's, if you can reveal all of that?
What I'm thinking of doing, so like in terms of the for-profit company, the temp agency,
right.
I want to have that fully up and running, operational by November 1st. That is my deadline for that. And then by the end of this year, I want to have SIY, the NGO office, officially registered in India. And then beginning of next year, I will start acquiring the funding, writing grants, etc. And then by the middle of next year, maybe this time next year, I don't know. But I plan on taking down my first brothel.
Wow. Time flies when you're taking down
brothels. So if you hear like international news about a little Indian dude from Michigan...
I'll throw it on my newscast and say, I know him.
Yeah, exactly. Do that.
Yeah. No,
you better put in your little news reporter at the station.
There you go.
Your news station.
Yeah. Let's get, I guess, kind of to the profit one, for profit. I read the description about it and kind of have an idea of what it's about, but, you know, even me, it's kind of hard to imagine. So your idea here is to make the profit and nonprofit kind of correlated.
So, like, yeah, essentially. So, like, the temp agency is the for-profit arm to SIY.
Yep. Okay.
So the benefits for this for-profit would be the women, the survivors... They get more job experience, and the agency will help them find better jobs within the workforce.
Right.
The other positive benefit would be profits generated. I don't know how much percentage wise, but whatever is generated, some of those profits would go to SIY to help with the funding.
Okay, so I mean, you're starting a temp agency, which, you know, here isn't. I guess it's not a concrete way of finding a job, but for you in India, it's kind of the gap between, you know, coming out of sex slavery and then going into the workforce. Yeah. What's the process for that? I mean, you're taking these women.
Well, in order for me to recruit the survivors, I have to tap into the network of the NGOs, because the NGOs will know who exactly would fit, qualify, etc.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, a lot of the NGOs provide vocational training, etc., but it's not as extensive in some of the areas. Like, one area that they lack is, I know a couple NGOs where they just train the women and they make products, but they don't teach the women how to market themselves or market those products to sell if they wanted to, say, create a store or something. So I think in that aspect, I'm going to, with the agency, I mean, I want to provide some more, I want the agency to provide more extensive job training, but so, I mean, it will always be a temp agency, but to some degree, I think it's going to be like a vocational school, so two things rolled into one.
Right.
So, but I don't want to be another vocational school because there's just too many. So I think if I'm gonna offer courses, the courses have to be very unique and specific. So I'm still researching on that. But whatever the women learn from the vocational training from the NGOs, it would be the agency's job to help them find better jobs.
So. Okay. So you're basically, to me, it just sounds so amazing that you're going to take people who have been traumatized, I guess is the one word I'll go, which probably isn't, excuse me, strong enough, but you're taking them and you're trying to just make them feel like they're normal people in the workforce. I don't even know if I have a question here, but how does that feel for you, knowing that this is in process?
I don't know. I feel like, because I just have so many projects going on, I feel because, you know, as you know, I've worked in a Hollywood movie with Aziz and everything.
Right.
And so, like, I have experience on a Hollywood movie set and television set. So it's like, so for me, it's like, it's kind of like this giant movie, like in process and like pre-production, pre-production.
Right.
And so, like, for me, like, really trying to connect it to my, my Hollywood experience, it's kind of like this giant movie, and which I'm like the executive producer or director or something. And it's like, I have all these projects and I'm trying to get them out and up and running.
You mentioned you were in a movie with Aziz. If we can't reveal this, I'll put it out. But I guess what's kind of, I don't know if you've reached out to him, what he's done for you. What can you tell us about that?
He's very supportive.
Okay.
And wait and see.
Okay. Fair enough. In other words, he's not telling us things. He's got a smile on his face. I guess, kind of, I know you've had a lot of random attempts to get out in the media and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
What has the media been like? Maybe not in India, because obviously not many people here are going to see that, but within the state, within the country, what's the media outlook been like? I know there was an MLive article.
Yeah, there was an MLive article. No, actually, no, not MLive. Grand Rapids Business Journal.
Thank you.
And then WGVU did stuff on SIY. And then I think that's it.
And Red Lightning.
And Red Lightning, yes.
Which isn't anything. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know what the media is going to be like over in India, but I mean, I'm not really concerned about it.
Yeah.
I'd rather stay out of the media, because I don't want the traffickers to realize what I'm doing. So quicker.
Yeah.
If I'm a no-show in the media, then good.
You said you don't want them to realize what you're doing. I guess perspective-wise, because to me, I'm thinking like you're gonna go stop and there's like three brothels, but that's not the case, is it?
Right. No.
There's it's almost. not a majority, but there's a great portion of India who's strictly known for sex trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, and not to diminish you, because this is just the realist in me, what makes you think that you can stop that? You
know, I'm not going to be able to stop it. Honestly, I don't think human trafficking will ever come to an end. But if I can get out as many people as possible, then I did my job.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put an end to this. There's no way. It's impossible. So, I mean, it's sad, but
yeah,
it's true.
No, that's the realist in you.
Yeah.
Is, you know, this.
If I went out there, if I went out there from day one saying I'm going to end sex trafficking, I think people would be wondering what I'm smoking.
Yeah. Right.
So.
And they'll have some of it as well.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm trying to put this all together because I'm very random and very scatterbrained.
Yep.
Which is how I operate.
Yep.
Unfortunately. So you've got the nonprofit. It's set up. You are in the process of getting that, the team that you're going to have in India, and you're moving in 2 months?
August? Yeah, 70 days. Yeah.
Okay, we have 70 days on button. Okay, so that's getting set up. It's in the process. Pre-production, as you said, you've got the for-profit office set up in Grand Rapids or in the process?
The nonprofit. The for-profit is going to be in India.
See, there you go. Okay, so the nonprofit.
I know, it's very confusing. Yes. I don't know how I keep it straight.
You need like a map.
I know. You do.
So you've got I'm going to work this out on air. You've got the nonprofit office in Michigan.
Yes.
That's for fundraising.
Yep.
Okay, see, there you go. And that's where you're going to have all your videos and all your production stuff like that to create the fundraising. So that's, and you're going to have one person head that up, as you said.
Well, I'll be the executive director for the office here, but the one person that I have that will be hired, she is going to be the donor relations manager.
Okay.
So she'll be working and communicating with the donors.
There you go.
So
that's in the process. Do you have an office set up here?
No, not yet.
So that's in the process. Come on, get with that.
I know, right? Well, I wanted to get an office, but my board told me not since we have no money. So
right. money makes the world go round, unfortunately.
Yep.
You're in the process of moving to India in 70 days. You've got the office set up in India,
which is
going to be your apartment, kind of.
Yes.
And then you'll get your board of directors in sometime, which you've already started communicating with via LinkedIn?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about that because we kind of brushed upon it, but how do you communicate with people who you've never met and who don't know your story?
Yeah.
I mean, they might, you can probably type it out to them, but that's not the same.
No.
I guess for background, I learned about your story.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, scatterbrained. I learned about your story in broadcasting class when I believe it was Andy Grambo was talking about you. And the profile picture slideshow of you. And everyone was just kind of sitting and like, whoa,
I didn't know that about him.
Right. That was kind of one of those, just punches in the gut. And you're like, whoa, we knew you were from India, but we didn't know that was the case. I guess, how do you correlate that story to these people and expect them to just jump on board and be like, yeah, nonprofit, helping sex slavery. I got that.
Right. What I've done is, so I'll tell you a quick story.
Yep.
Back in December when India was in the news because of the 23-year-old girl that was gang raped on the bus, and then riots broke out, one of the government officials in Calcutta made some comments about how girls in India like to be raped and they deserve it because of the way they dress. And so one of my contacts who works at the Telegraph of Calcutta, a newspaper.
Yeah.
She forwarded me the comments, and then I asked my lawyer to send me the email contact to the government official that made the comment.
Okay.
And so what I did was I emailed the official, and then I CC'd all of the reporters in the email, and between the government official and myself, we got into a bit of a war of words, and by the way, I won. And so the nice thing was is that the reporters realized what was going on, and they published everything, so I was happy about that.
Okay.
And so At the end, I told her, I told this official, you know, if you think women deserve to be raped and everything, how about we hire four men to gang rape you, and then we'll ask you how much you like it.
Wow.
And so then my lawyer emailed me. He's like, seriously? I'm like, freedom of speech. As an American.
Right.
So, that I shut up after that. But right. What I didn't realize was my LinkedIn page, right after that happened, my LinkedIn page just blew up with all these messages and requests. And it was from every single nonprofit professional in India that heard about it. And they decided, oh, let's look this guy up. And I got messages of like, who are you? And when are you coming to India? And blah, right. blah, blah. So I just send everyone, like, I've connected with a lot of people, and when I connect with them, I just shoot them an email introducing myself on there.
Yeah, so basically, excuse me, with that comments, or those comments, and that email, you basically started a movement, kind of. I hate the word movement, because yeah. I feel like it's got such a bad rap over the past couple years, but you basically...
I'm going to start a tea party movement.
Right. you basically started, you know, maybe a calling is the word yeah. I'll use, and that's, these people read the story and how what you were doing, you were trying to shed some light mm-hmm. on something, and they wanted to get behind it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even get people to do a podcast with me. No, I'm kidding. So then you're not making friends.
No.
So I guess, you know, not to bluntly put it out there, but life, are you afraid that, you know, you're going to go over there and there's going to be some hitman or something? You know.
I fully expect to get my fair share of death threats, but, I mean, a lot of my contacts, they've been doing this kind of work for 20 plus years, and they've all told me that you'll get your fair share of death threats. They're threats. They're not going to act on it because unless if you really piss someone off. And then one of them told me, she told me two things. One, stop watching Taken. And two, if you die, it's because of your own stupidity. So
wow.
I'm like, fair enough. I'll yeah. stop watching Taken.
So these are people who have been through this,
yeah.
like 20 plus years, and they're getting death threats,
and they're still alive, and
they're just doing it the right way.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you've got at least some good role models and yeah. teachers to help you out. Wow. All right. So
if I die, it's because of my stupidity.
Because you did it yourself.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a mental loop to think of.
Yep.
that should be an ad campaign in the United States. If you die, it's because of your own stupidity.
That'd be great.
That would be something. I don't think it would ever fly here.
No.
So you've got the nonprofit. You've made a lot of contacts through mm-hmm. that story. And you've got it all set in motion. I guess the book, because that's one thing mm-hmm. that's always intrigued me. You were in the process of writing the book last time we spoke. You had... I want to say four or five chapters, maybe.
Yeah, no, I redid
and now
it.
You've
yeah,
redone
yeah.
it, and now you've got one. And so you're, I guess
I have one chapter done, and I have 70 days to write five of them.
Did you like school, Nick? You're trying to get right back into it, start writing again. Apparently.
I know, right? Well, this is fun writing, though.
Right.
So
I guess
to some degree.
How's that going? What's the process?
The nice thing is I have an editor who's working with me, so she's keeping me on task.
Okay.
Yeah, which is good because I actually need that. And so I send her a chapter and she goes through and then we meet and whatnot. So, I mean, my goal is to have it done. The goal is to have the part one done August 20th. And so that is the goal, and I fully intend on having it done because I have two people that are going to be writing. One is going to write the foreword, and the other person is going to write the after foreword. So, and I promised them that I'd have part one done before I leave. So
yeah.
they have an investment into this, so I want to make sure that
yeah.
I keep my promise to them. So, and then part two is going to be written while I'm in India.
Okay. Well, so part what is part one? I guess to
about
just
me.
Just you and what you're what
yeah.
you're going through now.
Yeah, like part the first. The first three chapters are like Yeah, the first three are just like about me and whatnot, and then the last two are about SIY, the office here, and whatnot.
Okay.
And then part two is going to be all about India.
Okay. So part one is all the way from like your story, and then how you started this nonprofit, and then part two is going to be the nonprofit and how
it's
going.
Yeah, and my therapy sessions, you know.
Gotcha. Right. Fair enough. So you've got the office in Michigan getting set up. You've got the nonprofit. Funding going through. You've got the office in India that's going to get started up August, and then you're going to move, you're going to get your board, and you're going to try and create this temp agency for women and victims of sex slavery to do all this, and then you're also writing a book, because apparently aspirations weren't enough for you. You had to create more for
you. Well, it gets even worse. When I come back from Michigan, I'll be creating my last two nonprofits, which will connect back to the NGO.
You're going to have to explain that now.
So, like, the second to last nonprofit is going to be registered as a 501c4, which allows me to lobby.
Okay.
So I'm going to take the video testimonies. I'm going to lobby at the United Nations.
Okay.
I'm going to shove the testimonies down their throats.
Yeah.
And then the last nonprofit is going to be a 501c3. It's going to be a foundation. And I actually got inspired. I actually got inspired by what Steven Spielberg did after he made Schindler's List, and that was he created the Shoah Foundation, which is an archive of all the video testimonies of Holocaust survivors throughout the whole world.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to take his business model and apply it, and but the twist is that it's going to be human trafficking survivors all over the world.
Right.
So, and then I'm done creating nonprofits, businesses. So
you're just going to put it all in motion.
Yep.
Video testimonies.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something I didn't catch earlier. How you can't just walk around India and start showing a camera in people's faces and saying, hey, tell me about your experience.
No.
I guess how – what I know you had the one – I don't know whatever happened with this, and that's my fault. But when we did the videos where it says your name and that you're a fan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like, that totally fell
just
apart.
Didn't work.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Basically, there are videos of, you know, people all around the world saying, you know, I'm so-and-so, and I'm a, I can't remember what we said. I'm a fan of Save India or something like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, get back on track.
I tried to spearhead that project, and I sucked at it, so I got to hire a director to
right.
do all that. So.
But your video testimony,
mm-hmm.
How, I guess?
I think because it's if I, like you said, if I shove a camera, if I get a victim out, if I get a survivor out, and then, hey, I shove a video camera in their face, that's a huge turnoff, and I'm not going to gain their trust.
Right.
So I think the whole video, them giving their video testimony is going to be the last and final thing that they ever go through.
Yeah.
Because by then, hopefully, I have their trust. And what I'm going to do as a form of therapy, and I'm hinting at it, is there's a chance I'm going to be using therapy dogs to work with the women and children.
Wow.
And so what I'm figuring is that, if anything, I'm probably not going to be good at getting them to share their story.
Yeah.
But if I give them a therapy dog, pretty sure the dog would do a better job than me, so.
Yeah, that's one way to do it, certainly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I know you've got to get out of here soon. I guess, lastly, I want to give you a chance to just kind of give people an opportunity to see or hear everything. I know you keep people updated via Facebook a lot, so your Facebook is facebook.com/Save India's Youth?
Yeah,
okay.
Yep. Save India's Youth. We're at 740 some likes or something like that. So
very cool. And then do you have a Twitter? Which I believe
we do have a Twitter. Do I update? No.
Twitter's not very prevalent right now. Website. There is a website.
Yep.
How is that going?
It's going good. I got to update it. I'm hoping to update it sometime next month.
Gotcha.
And then when I go to India, I'm going to make another website strictly for the office. There, so I gotta figure all that out. But saveindiasyouth.org,
and LinkedIn. Can people connect you through that? Do you care?
Connect with me?
Yeah,
I accept everyone.
Awesome,
as long as they look legit.
Yeah, we've had experiences where you know people don't look legit, and then you got to change passwords. Right?
Yep, that's right.
But Yeah, because there's a few things I would like to bring up, but I don't know that I can, because you kind of told me to keep those down, so I will. Fair enough. They're awesome. When they happen, it's going to be awesome.
Yep.
I guess, you know, what's your underlying message? Because that's one thing I always want to figure out for people. You are someone spectacular in terms of you have a lot of things going on all at once. What do you hope to accomplish at the end of the day? I know you said you want to, if you can get anyone out, if you can get one person out, that's a success to you.
Yeah.
So I guess, is that your goal?
If I can get as many people out as possible and then still survive, and then at the same time making sure that my staff and staff over there and staff here are protected and not being harassed by the traffickers, then it's a success.
Certainly. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on. I appreciate you talking to me.
I appreciate the interview.
Yeah, and, you know, if people stay connected with them, facebook.com/SaveIndiasYouth, to Twitter, we'll forget that for now.
Yep.
The website, saveindiasyouth.org. And, hey, man, best of luck, because this is one heck of a project that I don't think a lot of us would take on. So best of luck to you.
Oh, thank you, man.
All right, we'll stop that, right.
So there you have it. That was Nicholas Palma talking about Save India's Youth. Sorry for the less than awesome quality. I'm literally recording all of this on my laptop as of now because I have yet to purchase the little audio recorder that I want. It's just a little thing, but it's $250, and I couldn't warrant spending $250 at the time because I was planning a move to Texas. So, and we were also in the DeVos Center at Grand Valley in this little cubicle thing where students can go and study and do all that, but the roof is open. Like, it's just a glass door that you slide, and then, you know, you sit down, you study, and you have your own little conference or whatever. But there was another conference or study group or whatever going on in the other cubicle next to us, so you can hear them in the background. Hopefully that's not too distracting. I don't think it was, but hopefully it wasn't. But yeah, that's one determined kid. He's going after a lot of government officials. That the one when he dropped that one line where, how would you feel if that happened to you, to that one lady? Oh man, that's something I just don't know. I didn't know how to respond to that one, so I tried to keep going on. But yeah, he's going after this, and that's admirable. He's trying to stop. He's trying to stop it. He's trying to make sure that sex slavery is not necessarily put to an end, because like he said, he doesn't think it'll ever stop, but he's trying to make a dent, and that's all he can do. That's all he can ask for someone, is to put in the effort. So best of luck to him. Best wishes. I know he's having a going away thing in August. I won't put any more details out there other than that, but I'm sure he would not dispel or discourage anyone from coming and saying goodbye to him as he tries to make this journey to India. Man, that's it's crazy. I moved to Texas and I'm feeling kind of lost and in this random town I'm in right now, but he's moving to a whole new country that he's only visited once, and he's trying to bring down essentially part of the government, so, or at least the corrupted part. It's just crazy. Going to a different state is one thing, but going to a different country where you're probably not going to be welcome is completely different. So best wishes to him, best wishes to his organization, both organizations with an S, the profit and nonprofit. I hope everything comes together. I know he's had a lot of different obstacles, whether it be certain people not coming through, or a dumb Facebook user trying to steal his identity, or what have you. I hope it all comes together, and I hope he does what he seeks out to do, which, like he said, just to help one person. If you can help one person, you can change their life for the better in terms of getting them out of sex slavery or preventing sex slavery, then it'll be awesome. So, like I said, best wishes to Nicholas Palma. Thank you for coming on my podcast, which right now is nothing. Who knows if it'll ever be something, but to me, this was a great first podcast, something that really kind of digs deep into someone's life who's trying to make a difference. So you know, what else could I ask for out of a first podcast? So Nicholas Pava, congratulations, first of all, for, you know, starting this from the bottom. Started from the bottom. Now you're here. Bad rap jokes. Congratulations. Good luck. I know you'll be great. And I apologize in advance if I don't make it to your going away party, but I think you'll be, we'll be hearing from you one way or another through your book or through other projects that I'm not allowed to speak about. But good luck, man.